collective mind space.
Okay.
Stand on your square, we on the curve, we about to earn. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's only or a new point, calling with your new point. From head to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers. Of the queens and the kings, we gon' get into some things. We been going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. 2 weeks
ago. Like you want collective mind.
It is what it is.
Peace, peace. Welcome back, family. This is Brother Kev.
And this is Rigel in the building.
Peace and blessings, family. This is Mufasa Raj joining you.
And we are collective minds. Well, we say we all don't have to think alike, but we all got to think. And welcome back. We have another powerful episode here for you. We have a special guest in the building. I know you guys have seen the flyers. But before we get started, y'all, do we have any announcements? And how was your week, Roger?
My week was great. I'm just looking forward to this great show with our special guest who's on with us. And but I don't have any announcements. I'm just looking forward to a good show.
All right, my brother Mufasa, how was your week, my brother? And do you have any announcements for us?
Hey, you know, I had a good week also, and likewise, you know, not no major announcements today. I'm just looking forward to building with Miss Elliott and having a good conversation, good dialogue.
That's right, that's right. And I do have a real quick announcement, y'all. It's been on my mind this week. Just want to give a shout-out to all the mothers, and especially my mother. See, I don't want to wait till Mother's Day to acknowledge the mothers, but I just want to acknowledge my mother for all the things she has done, especially when I was a kid, when she used to wake up in the morning and drop me off at school. She used to do all type of things for me when she was tired getting off work. I just want to say thank you, Mom, for all the sacrifices and all the things you've done. And now that I have kids myself, I really, really understand the love and sacrifice, you know, that parents and mothers make. So I just want to shout out to all the mothers, even you, Rigel. Shout out to you because you're doing a magnificent job with your kids. And, you know, just real quick, just shout out to all the mothers out there. Just know that you are appreciated. And we love you for, you know, raising up humanity and keeping it 100 with us. And it's holding us down. So I just wanted to put that out there. I don't want to wait till May to, you know, just say Happy Mother's Day. And to all the mothers, we love you. So I just wanted to put that out there. And
hey,
with no. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Brother, I did forget something. So hopefully we can touch on this next week or later. Everybody, do your research on H.R. Bill 5682, the First Step Act. We want to talk about this Prison Reform Act and how it's going to affect the community moving forward.
That's right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Take a look at that, family. Please do your research on that. And without further ado, we have a special guest in the building. This woman is an educator, has been putting in work for a long time. And I first came to hear her name when she does an experiment called the brown-eyed, blue-eyed experiment, for those who don't know, where she separates people based on their eye color and discriminates against them to show them the effects of racism. And like I say, she's been doing this work for a long time. Please welcome our special guest, Miss Jane Elliott. Are you with us, Miss Elliott?
Yes, I am. Here I am.
All right. You sound kind of low.
I have to correct you on something. I'm a teacher,
yes, ma'am.
So I have to correct you on something. I do not experiment with people without their permission or their approval. What
okay.
I do is create a microcosm of society in a classroom or a boardroom or wherever I'm working, and I do unto others as others in this country do unto others. And if what I do when I create a microcosm of society is an experiment, then what we have been doing with blacks and browns and yellow people in this country for the last 500 years is an experiment. Mm-hmm. It ought to be stopped because it's illegal to experiment with someone without their permission or their approval. Now, the word experiment
yes,
is used to describe what I the word is experiment is used to describe what I do in order to discredit the exercise. It isn't an experiment.
Yes, indeed.
When I do this, I'm not trying to learn something. I'm not trying to learn something from my students or the participants. I'm trying to teach them something.
There
okay?
you go. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I got it. Yes, ma'am. I understand. And before we get started, I guess if there's anybody that's been living under a rock and doesn't know your name or they're not familiar with you, is there anything you want to share about yourself and about the work that you do before we get started?
Yeah, I started this 50 years ago thinking that if I could educate, I'm not a teacher, I'm an educator. And the word educator comes from root, which means lead, the prefix e, which means out, the suffix ate, which means the act of, and the suffix or, which means one who does. An educator is one who is engaged in the act of leading people out of ignorance. That's what I wanted to do with this exercise. I didn't do it for fame. I didn't do it for fortune. I didn't do it to be loved. If I wanted to be loved, this exercise was the last way to get that done. I now know how Typhoid Mary must have felt, because I can walk down the street in my hometown and have nobody speak to me, because I am what they call a traitor to my race. And you see,
uh-oh.
I think there's only one
uh-oh.
Race, the human race. That's all there is. So I'm not a traitor to the human race. So I don't take it personally anymore. I did when they were beating on my children. But my children are grown, and I lost one 4 months ago. And what's your next question?
All right. Well, I want to, first of all, just thank you for sharing a bit of your evening with us. It is a real pleasure. And at Collective Minds, we do like to have open, honest dialogue about race. And so I just want to thank you again for coming on the show and sharing some of your time with us. And we look forward to this conversation.
Okay, let's go.
All right. Yeah, let's go. Now, before we get started, this is Brother Kev, and I want to ask two quick questions, and I'll let my co-host ask a question as well. Now, the first question is a topic that we had on the show here recently, but I want to get your response. And the question that we asked to our listening audience is the system of white supremacy dying, dead, or alive, in your opinion, Dr. Jane Elliott?
It's in its death throes right now, because white people know that within 30 years, white people will be a numerical minority in the United States of America. And that's exactly why this fool in the White House is so determined to build a wall on the southern border, because he wants to keep, he says, America for Americans. Well, what he doesn't realize is, because he says that those brown-skinned people reproduce too rapidly, but what he doesn't realize that everybody who lives from the northernmost point of Canada to the southernmost point of South America is an American. He just wants to keep out people of other colors. He is totally unaware that if they do a DNA on that fool, they'd find that there is a portion of his DNA came from a country in Africa. And what's he going to do when he finds that out? The white race, there is no white race. There are only shades of brown and black. There is no white race. That's a term that was made up during the Spanish Inquisition. We've got to give it up. There are no people who are white. So let's get over that first. There's only one race, and we're all members of it. And we all came from the same black women in sub-Saharan Africa between 300,000 and 500,000 years ago. Now, you can't get rid of that. That is probably the most important part of what I am a descendant from. And I'm very proud of that fact. And I want everybody to be proud of the fact that we're all 30th to 50th cousins, every person on this earth. It's time to get rid of it. The white race, the idea of white superiority was made up. You know that white people are not superior because of the color of their skin. They do better in school because white teachers expect them to do better and will see to it that they do better. And if they don't do better, they will falsify the records in order to see to it that they pass on to the next grade level. I've been a part of that system. I know what happens in schools. And I know what happens to little children in schools, particularly brown and black children. If your listeners haven't read Nathan Rutstein's book, the racial conditioning of our children, they need to get it and read it, because it will tell you. And the subtitle to that is Ending Psychological Genocide in the Schools. The man knew what he was talking about.
Author? Can you give me that author?
The author
one more
is Nathan
time.
Rutstein, Rutstein. Everybody has to read that book. The racial conditioning in our schools. Of our children, the racial conditioning of our children. The statements that he makes in that book are absolutely mind-blowing, and they're right. He's telling the truth. So, of course, we can't listen to him because he's telling the truth. We're very careful about who we listen to in this country. We don't want to listen to people who tell us the truth about what we have done and about what we're doing. If you think what we are doing, I asked the people on the Jada Pinkett Show last week, how long do you think this business of racism has been going on? They said, well, forever. No, it hasn't. It's been around for about 500 years. It came up during the Spanish Inquisition because they found they couldn't tell who the Jews were and who the other folks were. So they realized that they were killing some people who were Jews. So they decided they would have to find a new way to decide who to kill and to capture. And they set on skin color. Right. Now, it is that recent. We created
that is correct
racism.
Now.
We created racism. Anything you create, you can destroy. We are in the act now, and we're doing well at destroying racism until this fool got elected. And now we're
That's
making
right.
backward steps very, very rapidly.
Yep. And just for the listeners, according to Dr. Jacqueline Batalora, she wrote a book called The Birth of a White Nation, The Invention of White People and Its Relevance. And according to her, I believe she said the white race in America was invented around 1681.
For the listeners. There is no white race.
Correct.
There is no white race. You have to realize that is the only reason whites began to rule the situation is because we came here and were willing to kill people to take this land. And we were, and we still are. We'll do it now if we have to.
Indeed. Now, I do have one more question, my brother Mufasa, and then I'll let you take over and ask your question. Now, this is a two-part question, and again, we like to deal with truth here on Collective Minds. So I want to ask, in a system of white supremacy, do you think that it's, or in the system of racism that we live in currently, do you think it's logical for black people to assume that white people are racist, and are you racist yourself?
So of course I'm a racist. I'm not stupid. If you have gotten through high school in the United States of America and you aren't a racist, you need to go back and take the course over. Because that is what we are taught in the schools in this country. You need to realize that what we call education in this country is not education. It's indoctrination. Age of 5 to the age of 18 to thoroughly indoctrinate students so that they will be good United States of American citizens, which means citizens who believe absolutely in the myth of white male superiority. That's what our social studies is, and we ought to call it antisocial studies because it is antisocial to pick out a group on the basis of physical characteristics over which they have absolute no control and give them power because of those physical characteristics. This makes no sense, and we've done it for long enough. If you aren't a racist after 12 years of so-called of indoctrination in this country, you didn't get the message, and you should go back and take the course over again. Because they didn't succeed with you.
Facts.
I don't know where anyone would get the idea that people are just born racist or that they just naturally are racist. No, you have to be carefully taught. You know that last song in the South Pacific play? You have to be taught to be afraid of people whose eyes are differently made, of people whose skin is of a different shade. You have to be carefully taught. You have to be taught before it's too late, before you are 6 or 7 or 8, to hate all the people your relatives hate. You have to be carefully taught. And that's absolutely true. And in this country, we do that. When I was in college, and that was like, you know, right after I was a waitress at the Last Supper, I went to college, and in a social studies class, the professor said, when you get into the classroom, these were teacher trainees that he was talking to, when you get into the classroom, you must not teach in opposition to local mores. The people who are paying your wages through their taxes have the right to have their children learn what they want them to learn. Now, I was 19, and I knew there was something really, really wrong with that, because what he would say is, if you get into a racist community, you must not teach in opposition to racism. I knew that was wrong, so, of course, when I got into the classroom, I taught in opposition to racism, and that's what I'm still doing. And I think it's absolutely essential. If you're going to be an educator, you have to educate that whole person. You can't just teach the STEM subjects. You have to teach people to empathize with one another.
That's right. That's right. Indeed. Yes. If you're just joining us, family, we are here with Jane Elliott, educator, dynamic speaker, and she speaks the truth on racism. Please give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. And I want to pass the mic along to my brother Mufasa Ra or Rigel Starr. If anyone, you have a question for our guest, proceed.
You go ahead, Mufasa.
Well, all right. Hello, Ms. Jane Elliott.
Hello.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Ms. Elliott, listen, I got a couple questions. Now, first, I'm going to ask you some scientific stuff. And then after I get this scientific question out the way, we just going to have a non-scientific conversation, because I got some stuff I got to ask you. So first thing is, because you kind of dispelled, and I see you're a wise woman. You've been dispelled a lot of the stuff about, you know, the racism, how we came up with these racist names of white and black, and I agree with all that. Now, how do you explain the differences in the DNA of Caucasians and black people? Because I heard theories that Caucasian people have like 2 to 4 different strands of DNA, and African black people have up to 24. So how do you explain
I don't know how many strains of DNA anybody has. And when I look at them, I wonder how many strains of DNA you have. I think there is somebody who's one of my 30th to 50th cousins. And I get really angry when somebody uses science to prove that that person isn't as good as I am.
But you can't dispel the science, though. I mean, I'm with you. But the science is still a fact that we have to go by.
I'm not a STEM person, and I don't know enough science to tell you whether that statement is right or wrong. Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
Right, makes sense.
Another one that I have is Caucasians, out from my understanding, are made up primarily of primate DNA and albino DNA.
Well, I think you're wrong about that. I don't know where you got that information, but I think it's wrong. Have you read the April issue of the National Geographic magazine?
No, I have not.
You need to get it and read it, and I think that will make you question the statement you just made. Also, have you read, I love this one, Anthony Browder's Nile Valley Contributions to Civilization?
I'm aware of that book. I have not read it in its entirety, but I'm very much aware of it.
Read it. Have you read Robert Wald Sussman's book, The Myth of Race?
What's his name again?
I think what we all have to do is read things that were written by people who know what they're talking about and have done a lot of research. I haven't done that research, but people have. And it seems to me that how many strains of DNA you have is not the problem. The problem is white people's inability, because of their indoctrination, to deal positively with people who are different from themselves. Now, the same thing is happening with this fool in the White House where gays and lesbians are, for the LGBTQ group are concerned.
Thanks.
With the stroke of his pen, he has wiped out transgender people. You cannot wipe out some of my friends with a stroke of your pen. And he didn't ask other DNA, and he didn't ask about chromosomes, and he didn't ask of anything else. He simply said there is no such person, so we're not going to deal with that title anymore. Does that bother you at all? Because, you see, if he can wipe out transgenders today, he can wipe out children who aren't quite enough tomorrow.
Now, Miss Elliott, and I'm with you on all that. Trust me, I'm following you on that. And even if we do have different strands of DNA, for myself, that still doesn't mean that we should not respect each other's differences. And I'm looking at it as a respect thing. Whether we got different strands of DNA, we are all humans or not, if we will respect each other's space, that would make this planet a lot better place to live in. But the lack of respect we have of each other is a big problem.
Let me tell you what Nathan Rutstein says about things like respect and things like about tolerance. I don't believe in tolerance. He says, more than tolerance is necessary to develop a race prejudice-free society. What is required is the purging of the heart and freeing of the mind of toxic attitudes and feelings toward people of color.
Mm-hmm.
All tolerance can curtail prejudice or behavior, but it cannot deactivate it. It can't eliminate it. We have to deactivate this intolerance, and we have to eliminate it. And we can't do it by saying, well, we have these differences and these differences, and so we really can't do anything about it until we change these differences. No. I want people to accept one another as they are, not as they
have been
psychoanalyzed or categorized by somebody who doesn't really
want
to make some money. Who wants to make some money?
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And, let me hop in real quick because I have a quote here from Kwame Ture, who was formerly known as Stokely Carmichael, and it kind of hits on the point that you guys just touched on. And the quote is, if a white man wants to lynch me, that's his problem. If he's got the power to lynch me, that's my problem. Racism is not a question of attitude. It's a question of power. So with that quote, for me, that says, you know, racism in itself is not the problem. Because if someone doesn't like me because I'm a black male, I have no problem with that. The problem is it seems like the most powerful people in the most powerful positions are racist. So if they were not in power, then, you know, racism wouldn't be such a problem. They would just be people who have an opinion without the power to exercise that particular ideology or opinion. You see?
If they had some political problem, they'd try to cure it.
Right,
if they have
a mental
problem, and racism is a mental problem, we need to cure it. And we need to cure it by teaching them the truth. We have not taught the truth in this country about skin color.
That's true.
And if somebody says to me, I don't like that guy because of his skin color, I say, wait. His skin color isn't what bothers you. What bothers you is your ignorance.
Right.
I'm tired of hearing about white privilege. What we are suffering from in this country is white ignorance. And when white people give up the idea of being superior, which they have been given for the last 500 years, they will get over the feeling of superiority because they'll look around them and see these brilliant black and brown and yellow people who have made strides in spite of all the things we did to keep them down. In spite of us, they have done that. And if they were inferior, how did they do it? How did a black man make $40,000 off GE by inventing the stoplight? How could he do that without a white man telling him how? And how could black people leave the equator, the area around the equator in sub-Saharan Africa, and migrate all over the world and so populate every landmass on the face of the earth? as they pop, as they got farther and farther from the equator, their skin, their hair, and their eyes got lighter. And as they got into the northern climes, because the sun hit them at a different angle, their skin, it was a different color. But every person on the face of the earth is related to those first black people. How in the world did they do that in modern technology? I want to know how they did that. And I want to know how those people in the northern climes decided they must be stupid or must be unable to learn or must be savage when, while we were describing them as savages, we were killing Native Americans.
Now, Ms. Jane Elliott, I do want to ask you this. So where do you think – now, you say the root of racism is ignorance, but why do you think racism exists? As far as
because
the why
because we keep on giving people we give people power because of it. We base our opinions of them on their color because we're ignorant. We constantly are paying people for being racist. Racism in this country is a moneymaker.
Right. True.
Make no mistake about that. That's why we brought blacks here from England. We didn't bring them from Africa. The people in England brought them to England from Africa, and then we bought them from Africa, from England, because we wanted to make money off their bodies. And that's what we are still doing. And we need to realize that this is all about, now I have no problem with capitalism, as long as it isn't capitalism based on your ability to use another person's body and not pay them well for that use.
I got a question, Brother Kez, because I don't want to get too far from what Ms. Elliott just said. So, Ms. Elliott, give me a breakdown real quick of Caucasian people. You say that we all came from the same black woman.
Same black woman. I said a number of black women.
So how did the Caucasian people, just break that down to me, how the Caucasian race came from black women. How did they migrate to where they were living at? Just break down to me this whole theory.
Black people migrated from the sub-Saharan Africa to all over the world. And as they migrated, their skin, their hair, and their eyes got lighter because they were exposed to less sunlight. They were in Africa, where they evolved. Their bodies produced a lot of melanin to protect themselves from the damaging rays of the sun. As they moved farther and farther from the equator, their bodies were exposed to less and less sunlight. They produced less and less melanin. Their hair, their skin, and their eyes got lighter. That is the only reason for color and skin color on the face of the earth is adaptation to the natural environment and to the sun. It was extremely important that they not have much melanin in their skin as they got into the northern climates because they needed the sunlight to help their bodies to produce vitamin D. It has nothing to do with being God's chosen people. I did a program one day, and this white woman said to me, oh, Lord, liberal white women, shut up every once in a while. She said to me, I don't dislike blacks. When I see a black person, I just think they're for the grace of God, go I. I don't think she'll ever say that out loud again because I came down on her like a duck on a June bug. How dare she think that God woke up one morning and wanted to make something beautiful, so he made her. Number one, God is a spirit. God has neither color nor gender. Number two, we're now in the Christmas season.
Indeed.
And I am telling people, if you really want to be happy during the Christmas season, remember this. God is not an old white man with a long gray beard that looks like Charlton Heston playing Moses. God is a spirit.
Right.
And the baby Jesus did not look like the Pillsbury Doughboy. It says in the Bible that he had feet of bronze and kinky woolly hair. Now, that's not what you're going to see in all those mangers all over the United States. You're going to see Mary, blonde, pale-skinned, blue-eyed Mary, when in fact she was a Jewess born in the Middle East. And her skin wasn't white, and her eyes weren't blue, and her hair wasn't blonde. And neither was Jesus, what we have pictured him as. But you see, one of the major differences between white people and people of color on this earth is, when white people come into a new environment, they immediately adjust the environment to fit their needs. When people of color come into a new environment, they immediately adjust their needs to fit the environment, which is why they will outlive us. But we have done that with religion just like we have with everything else. White people need somebody to pray to that they can relate to. So we simply constructed a new picture of the Holy Family.
Yep.
That's not right,
so
but it makes white folks feel real good.
So, Ms. Elliott, does the same thing go for Asian people as well that you said about Caucasian people?
Asian people are the color of the color they are because of where they developed. It isn't because they're a different species or a different race. Asian people, for some reason, I don't know what it is, but Asian people are, for the most, many of them, are much better at things like mathematics. I don't know why. I have no idea. But I was on a bus with a bunch of people one day going back to the airport in New York City, and this young Asian woman said, you talk about negative stereotypes. I'm tired of the positive stereotypes about people like me. And I said, what do you mean people like you? She said, well, I'm Asian, and people expect me to really be good in math. She said, I can't add two and two without counting on my fingers. She said, that positive stereotype may be good for everybody else, but it's been really bad for me. So we take the ones who are good at that, and then we use that to describe all of them. I know Asians who are not interested in science.
That's right. That's right. Indeed. So if you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We have a very special guest joining us this evening. Dr. Jane Elliott is in the building with us. If it's okay, Dr. Elliott, can we take a couple calls?
Yeah, you can ask me questions. Let me warn you about something. If somebody's going to get on that telephone and get abusive with me, I have the power to hang up, and I won't take it. I'm too old to have somebody come in here and say, well, you no. If you have a sensible question to ask, I'll be more than happy to answer it.
Okay,
yeah, we don't play that.
We understand. Exactly. Yeah, and we're not going to play that. If anyone gets out of line, we will mute them, or we will simply just hang up their line. So please call us. Be respectful. Make sure your question is quick or your comment is quick and brief. Please keep it under 5 minutes, please. And please be respectful to our guests and respectful to the show, and we'll move forward in that fashion. So thank you, and Rigel Starr, I'll let you see if you can get a call in.
Okay, let's go to area code 314-241. Call your own with Collective Minds. You have a question or a comment?
They may be afraid to call in now.
Right, they may be. They may be.
Right. I may have heard that.
Okay, area code 315-767. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Hi, Collective Minds Radio. Now, I was just listening in today.
Hey.
I really don't have anything I want to bring up or, right now. Thanks.
Okay.
All right, thank you
for
listening.
Thanks for calling
Carla.
In.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
All
right.
Let's,
well,
let's do one more call before you.
One more? Okay, go ahead.
We'll do one more. Area code 314-381, calling you on with Collective Minds. You have a question or a comment?
Well, I was going to say hello to your guest. You're talking to a black man who supported and voted for Donald Trump. And I know Tony Broder very well. Yes. But
you know him very well.
Yes, I do.
And
Tony Broder.
Yeah, I know Tony Broder very well. I've been knowing him for a long time. And, you know, you make mention about white people. All white people is not that way. I think you generalize that the way you're saying it. In my business, my white employees didn't think that they were supreme. They thought they came in to do a job and get it done. One other thing, you talk about the black female. And I imagine you're talking about Dek Nesh. Dek Nesh wasn't a fully developed human being, by the way. And Neanderthal has never been found on the African continent. And I just want to make one
other point. I'm sorry. You're mistaken about that, but that's okay. I'm not going to argue about the history of the race. I'm not going to do that. And if that's what you want to do, find somebody who's willing to talk to you.
Well, I'm not trying to argue. I'm just making a statement. Now, I've been down into many countries in Africa, and I've been into some areas, like in the southern part of the Oromo area in Ethiopia. And you got black kids there that's got blue eyes. It's not that they came in contact with whites, but their eyes are just as aqua blue as you could paint them. And I've seen some down in the southern tip of South Africa, and they have blonde hair. So that there needs to be explained when we say that Mary had blue eyes. Every ethnic group has a right to create their own gods, and that's their privilege to do so. And
they don't have the
argue
right to force them on other people. They don't have
absolutely
right.
Right.
They don't have
I didn't
right
say that.
But that is what we have been, and that is what we are doing, and that is what we will continue to do as long as we take those few that don't fit the story.
Well,
make them examples of the whole group. Look,
well, no, you're right.
Right.
People don't have a right.
If the majority, of white people in the United States are not racist, you tell me why racism is alive and well in the United States
today.
Well,
it depends on what you call racism, because when I came up in the 60s, what you describe as being racist today was not beyond the imagination. Nobody even thought. I heard some girls on LSU talking about the Greek fraternity. It said they put up a banner that said that when Colin Kaepernick pees, he squats. Well, that's not racist. That's just a joke. So it has gotten completely out of control.
That's a joke not to be allowed on a college campus.
Well,
exactly.
If what you laugh at is something that puts another group of people down because of the color of their skin, you need to change your sense of humor.
Well, they didn't make it because of the color of their skin
on a college campus. It's just like somebody last week, one of the people who I think is now in the legislature, saying that if you're going to have a lynching, make sure you call me. I want to be in the front row. Now, I'm sure that was very funny to her people. It wasn't funny to me. Lynching is not amusing to me, and to make a joke about it is an absolute racist behavior.
Well, you know, when I'm around certain black groups, okay, like the Congressional Black Caucus, for instance. Congressional Black Caucus will not allow Steve Cohen, who's a congressional representative of the 9th District of Tennessee. They wouldn't, and he's white. He represents a vast majority of black district, and they have elected him about three times in a row. He's supposed to represent these people, but the Congressional Black Caucus, and they have it written in text that it's only for blacks. That's racism.
No,
would you agree?
I think you need to realize that that's a reaction to the way we have treated blacks in this country and in the legislature for the last 250 years.
What you are expecting
black people to do is to be more superior than white people in their reaction to ugliness. You are expecting blacks not to act the way white people do, not to get even. This isn't the case of getting even. Have you read the book, Why Are There All the Black Children Sitting Together in the School Cafeteria?
Because they want to.
Right. And we don't want to go back and forth.
Let me say this, and I'm going to go. And
go
your
ahead.
Name again, Miss Ella, I'm African American. I'm married to a woman from West Africa. What you're saying, I don't agree with. So that
you
is the difference between that is the difference between black people. All blacks are not the same. Some don't agree with what others say, in particular in this case here. Thank you very much.
That's perfectly fine.
I don't expect
everybody to agree with me. Believe me,
exactly.
I don't.
Exactly.
Now, for a black man born in the 60s, I would think his outlook would be slightly different than what he called in. But much respect to the caller. Thank you for calling in and sharing your
thoughts.
Now, I want to ask this question. because if we're talking about, you know, the 60s and pre-civil rights era, when I study history, I see that, you know, there were a lot of black communities that were thriving, you know, that were doing good business, that were, you know, circulating their dollar with each other. Even here in East St. Louis, there was a so-called race riot that happened in 1917 where there were a lot of black families and these white mobs came in and just started killing people and lynching and shooting people, and it was one of the biggest massacres in U.S. history. So my question is for you, Dr. Elliott, do you think integration helped or hurt black people as a group?
Do I think that what of racism?
Do you think integration helped black people, or did it hurt black people as a group?
I think the idea for integration is wonderful, because I think we need to see one another as human beings who deserve equitable treatment under the law. I think that meeting people who are different from yourself and learning about them is wonderful. I think it's the way it ought to be. But I think it's extremely difficult to integrate groups of people who have been conditioned to the myth of white superiority and therefore the myth of inferiority of people of color all their lives. I think that's very difficult. And I think you have to, I think it did not do some black students a big favor to send them to a white school. I think of that marvelous Minnie Jean who integrated the Little Rock schools and what she had to go through as a 16-year-old girl to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened
right.
with those children and what they
That's
went
right.
through in order to integrate a white school.
Right.
They should have sent a group of white children into a black school. You know, we should have integrated fully on both sides, but we didn't want to do that. And there are more children attending in segregated schools in this country today than there were previous to Brown versus Board of Education. That's a fact. And you can argue with it until hell freezes over, but that's what's going on. White people know
true.
How to make people who aren't like them feel very uncomfortable. And until they find out that they're doing white children a grave disservice by doing that, they'll keep on doing it. Until white people become aware that their future depends on the intelligence of people who are other than white males, we're going to be in trouble. This country is sliding backward. Every day it's sliding backward a little bit because we refuse to recognize the intelligence of those who are other than white and other than male.
That's right. Yes, indeed. So if you're just joining us, family, this is Collective Minds Radio. We have a special guest, Jane Elliott, in the building. Educator who's most famous for the brown-eyed, blue-eyed educational platform that she does to educate people on racism and how it affects people. I want to make sure my host, do you guys have any questions for Ms. Elliott?
No, I don't have any at this time.
Go ahead.
I'll
wait a second.
Okay, area code 314-677. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Really not much. I just kind of tuned in at the end part of that last caller. And, you know, it's just kind of disheartening just to hear someone call you. It's not, you know, his position is his position and his worldviews are his worldviews, but it's just very disheartening to hear someone.
Who are you speaking about, Carl? I'm sorry. Who are you talking about?
The guy who called just now.
The last caller.
Oh, the previous. Okay, the caller. Got you.
Yeah, the previous caller. You know,
Wait a minute. We have to realize that not only white people are ignorant about this thing. Ignorance spreads across the color line. You know, we are all
that
ignorant about this because we have all been raised in this environment, in the USA environment,
Thanks.
In which we
right.
all are expected to behave in these ways. I suspect that most of you have had somebody say to you, when I see you, I don't see you black. Have you had that experience?
Yes,
so,
I have.
And how do you respond to that? How do you respond to that?
I don't. I'm sorry. I excuse me. Excuse me for one moment.
Okay.
I don't have difficulty expressing myself at all, and so I thank you for helping me to express my thoughts. But I don't really have that big. I don't have difficulty in being able to express myself if given the opportunity. And so, in some ways, even the let me get in here and let her know what she's trying to say is a little bit somewhat of a white supremacy, superiority type of thinking. So what I was going to say about that man, doctor, is yes, what you just basically summed up for me, you know, and I was just trying to get it out because I just joined on the line, and I was hearing this guy speaking, and what I was just going to say is just very disheartening for me to hear his opinions, because there's so much evidence to the contrary of what he's saying. And he seems to be, I mean, ignorance is, it doesn't matter. It just crosses over all type of racial lines. It doesn't matter. Ignorance is ignorance. But it's still disheartening. And yes, I know not only white people are ignorant. As a matter of fact, I think most white people are extremely ignorant. But I think their ignorance is by choice. I think they choose to be ignorant because there's plenty of evidence out there that says that, you know, these institutions are racist and they were set up in order to perpetuate a certain mentality and to uplift a certain group of people at the destruction and of another group of people. But yeah, when I joined in and I heard that guy, it's just kind of sad and disheartening to me as an African, because I'm saying as long as we have those type of thoughts, that's part of the brainwashing. You know, if we refuse to accept the fact that these things are happening, it's a psychological defense as well. Because for us to, as Africans, to say we are being manipulated and brainwashed is, for some people, they see it as a weakness, a psychological weakness. But it's not. It's the reality of the situation. Everything around us is propaganda, from the music to the TV to the magazines. Religious, all these institutions have one purpose in mind, and that's just to advance one group of people. And so, and white people, any other group of people that come into this country, all over the world, you know, white people have exported this white superiority type of mentality to all groups of people all over the world.
Over the world, all right? Indeed. Now, did you have a question for the guest?
Not at this time.
Okay.
Not at this time, because I'm just joining in,
okay.
And I just like what that guy. So not.
But ask her the question. But ask the caller the question. We want your opinion as well, caller, on this subject. Do you believe that we are one human race? We all, everybody, all colors of people, we all of the same human race?
Well, I believe race is a social construct, and so because race is a social construct, I don't see us all as being one race, but we all are human in the sense of biological functions, you know, like we're all mammals in that sense. But since race is a social construct, then I would say no, we're not all of the same race, because society has created all these hierarchies, and within these hierarchies and all these different levels, it's saying, well, if you have this skin color, then you're in this hierarchy, and we're going to call your race black, you know, we're going to call this race white, and we're going to call this race brown.
Society can't create a race. Society can't create a race. It can create racism, and that's what it's done. Nathan Wellstein, in his book, says prejudice is an emotional commitment to ignorance.
I mean, I think we're agreeing because I'm just saying race is a social construct. So in that sense, I wouldn't say that we're all of the same race because race is something that was created in society. So I think we're probably saying the same things. We're just expressing it using different words because we're different people. But in the sense of us being humans, yeah, we're all mammals and we're all humans and we all have a ability to make conscious decisions, you know. Women have babies a certain way. You're warm-blooded. You know those things that happen.
Right, right, right.
With a mammal, indeed, but indeed. Race itself is a social construct. And no, we're not all of the same race because society.
Okay,
is
if we aren't all the same race, if we aren't all
because
the same
race,
then you have
real.
To you have
race
to deny.
Real.
Look,
hold
all
on,
human beings.
Let our guest respond. Let our guest respond.
All humans belong to the same species or family is seen when an inter-ethnic couple produces a child. For example, a Nigerian and a Swedish couple. They produce beautiful children, but for two different species, that's impossible. If they're two different species, they cannot produce a viable offspring. So that in itself is proof that we are all the same race. We are all one race. But there are 2,500 different skin colors on the face of the earth. Now, if you can think of 2,500 different names for races, you've got too much time on your hands. But you could sit down and try to do that, and then you'd have to remember what you named
right.
each of those. Look at the National Geographic magazine for April of 2018. Please, please get that magazine and look at the different colors of people on the three pages of that magazine, and they are all members of the same race, which is the human race.
Well,
my Caucasian,
indeed.
So-called Caucasian, my Irish and English daughter married a Saudi Arabian. They were totally different, but they have two absolutely gorgeous daughters. If they were different races, they couldn't have had two absolutely beautiful daughters. They aren't different races. They're people with different color and were raised in a different environment, physical environment, and religious environment. But they're members of the same race.
So, like I said previously.
Yeah, I'll let you respond, Carla, and then we'll move on. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, as I said a few seconds ago, I actually think you and I are seeing things the same way. We're just choosing different words to express ourselves. And so I'm just going to say it again, that I do not believe that race is a social construct. So by it being a social construct, then the fact that we're all different races, in a sense of the where we are, how we are treated and how society deals with us, then of course, you know, the powers that be have put us in all these different categories and in the hierarchies and all this stratification is concerned. But from a biological standpoint, which is what you're talking about, of course we're all the same because a female who is human has to be with a male who is human in order to make an offspring. So from a biological standpoint, yeah, species and family and mammals and all that goes up when you start talking about from that standpoint, yeah, we're all the same. But we're talking about if we're all in different races, yeah, because someone who doesn't know you, Dr. Elliott, and who doesn't know me, when we go into the same establishment, we're going to be treated differently because of this fake racial construct, not because we're human beings and you just happen to be a little blonde-haired white woman and I happen to be a brown-skinned black woman, but because of the society in which we live. And so you cannot ignore, now we can talk about we're all the same from a biological standpoint, but you cannot ignore and continue to say that we're not of different races when I'm being treated differently than you. Because
but,
the diminishes
your
and minimizes
your
experience.
Your treatment is not the result of you being a member of a different race. The treatment you get is the result of ignorance that we have learned in this racist society. We have learned and been reinforced for being ignorant. And it's a bad thing to reinforce people in the ignorance of thinking that skin color is an indication of a different race. You and I are cousins, whether you like it or not. You are one of my 30th to 50th cousins because we have the same ancestors back there 300,000 to 500,000 years ago. That's the way it is. Scientists have unanimously declared that there is only one race, the human race. And until we get that into our kindergarten to first to third to fifth graders, we won't get over this situation. This is ridiculous for people to continue to believe that skin color is an indicator of a different race. Please stop thinking that that's true, and please read Robert Wald Sussman's book, The Myth of Race. Please do that.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Thank you, Carla, for your comment and dialogue. If you're just joining us, family, we're coming down to the last 30 minutes of the show. This is Collective Minds Radio. I am your host, Brother Kev, and my brother Mufasa Ra and Rigel Starr are with me, and we have a very special guest. We are speaking with Dr. Jane Elliott this evening. If you want to give us a call here, the number is 929-477-1697. And Dr. Elliott, we are in St. Louis, Missouri, so that's the Ferguson area. And I'm sure you heard about Mike Brown in, 2014 was killed by Darren Wilson. Walking right. So now during this time, it was the first time I started to hear the term white ally. So I wanted to ask you, do you consider yourself a white ally or anti-racist, or how would you describe yourself and the work that you do?
I consider myself a member of the human race who is absolutely determined to convince everybody I come to that they too are members of the human race and that we have the right to regard one another as cousins and who are equally valuable in the eyes of God, however you define God.
Okay, yes, indeed. And we'll take one more caller, but before we do that, because the term white ally always confused me. And when I would meet, some white people, they would always say, well, I don't like racism either, and what can I do in order to help you guys? And
Let me answer that, if I may. Go to my website, JaneElliott.com. Download learning materials that you will find there. The first is a set of typical statements that white folks make that think they aren't racist. The second is a set of clarifications of those statements. The third is a set of commitments to combat racism. 18, I think there are 18 things that you can do in your own environment to change the level of racism in yourself and, as a result of that, in those around you. Just if you want to know something to do, there are some things that you can do. We do not have to live this way. We do not have to accept somebody else's definition of us because of their ignorance about skin color. I don't call myself a white ally because I refuse to allow somebody else to define me. In the first place, I'm not white. I'm pink. And I know a whole lot of big pink men that are also big pink men. So to call myself white is really ridiculous. That is a term that people have assigned to me, and I don't have to accept it because I don't believe in it. You can tell where my skin begins and my hair leaves off by simply looking at me, and then you have to say to yourself, now how much of her is white? Just her hair? Because her skin sure isn't. And you don't know what my brain looks like, but I'll tell you, on my insides, I'm very, very colorful, and so is everybody else.
That's right. Now you tell me, we're going to get to the call lines here in 1 second, but I want to know from you, Dr. Jane Elliott, is my request unreasonable, right? So when I get that question, what can I do? I say, you need to point out the white people that are racist, because to me, I'd say that racism is a crime. So it doesn't matter if these people are in your family or your friends, but if you need to point out to black people who the races are and where they work, that way you can put them on blast and we can be aware of the racist people, whether they're teachers, doctors, police officers, restaurant workers, owners, or whoever. They need to be put on blast by the so-called quote-unquote white allies in order to let us know
who they are. That way we're not mistreated. Do you think that's an unreasonable report?
My response to that is, I bet you that every black person who's listening to this can tell a racist when they see one. I bet they can know within five minutes after talking to them whether or not they're talking to a racist. When a person walks up to me and won't look me in the eye, will not listen to what I say, regards me as less than, I immediately think there's something wrong with you because I know there's not something wrong with me. Other people can look me in the eye. Why can't you? I watched Linda Guillory watch this skinny little white woman run up to her on her high heels, which were too high, so she almost fell forward. She was trying to run. And she said to Linda Guillory, Linda, when I see you, I don't see you black. Now, would you call that a racist remark?
I would, yes. Linda
Guillory was supposed to say, thank you, I'm glad you didn't notice my discoloration. She didn't say that. I stepped back because I thought, I've got to wear this suit tomorrow, and there's going to be bloodshed. So I stepped back and watched Linda Guillory look down at this fool and say, I think you have a severe eye problem. Let's go and make an appointment with an optometrist so that we can get your eyes fixed.
Right. Yes, indeed.
I thought
it was absolutely
beautiful. And when some white woman, and these are mostly white women who do these things, I'm sorry, white folks who are listening, but this is my experience. White women will say to me, I don't see color, I'm colorblind. And I immediately say to them, you wouldn't have had to tell me that. I knew you were colorblind. If you weren't colorblind, you wouldn't wear that shirt with those pants. Now, they get offended at that because I have just attacked their ability to choose their clothing. They're lying. They do see color. If they didn't see color, they wouldn't mention it. You know
that
as well as I do. Of course they see color. This is ridiculous. It's ridiculous to go on like this forever and ever and ever as if skin color were God-given. It's an accident of birth, and it's a result of adaptation to the physical environment over 300,000 to 500,000 years. Now, the Greeks stopped believing that the sun was a god that goes across the sky every morning in a golden chariot. It's time for white people to stop believing in the myth of race.
Indeed, indeed. Let's go to the call lines. We are joined by Dr. Jane Elliott here. Roger Starr, you want to take it?
Okay, let's go to area code 314-616. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment.
Yes, good evening. How's everyone doing?
Peace.
Hey, caller, how you doing?
Thank you.
Peace. I'm all right. I have a question for Dr. Elliott. And I don't want to misquote you because I didn't watch the clip 100 times, but I do think that you were stating that we're all human beings or some set of effect, like there's no difference in white and black and that kind of thing.
I didn't say there's no difference. I said we are all members of the human race. There's only one race.
And I'm not an anatomist or a scientist, so I'm just trying to understand how do you define human. And the reason I ask you that is because through my empirical data from what I've collected, it's my understanding that when you're dealing with the white race or that form of being, the difference being like there's a missing marker in the center of their cell. So I'm trying to understand from a scientific perspective, when you say we're all members of the human race, are you saying that we're all like beings, or how exactly are you defining that? That was my question.
I'm saying we are all Homo sapiens. Within a few thousand years after Homo sapiens appeared on the earth, all of Peking man, all of Java man, and most of Neanderthal man had disappeared from the face of the earth. I don't know why I wasn't there, but that's the way it is. And if you haven't read the book Sapiens, S-A-P-I-E-N-S, it's the history of the human race, you need to get it and read it. If you really want those questions answered, there's a way to get the answers from somebody who knows them and who has studied this extensively. And if I were you, I would get the book The Myth of Race first, and I would read that, and then I would read Sapiens, and I can't remember the man's name because it's difficult for me to remember his name. Sorry about that. And it's not because it's a different name. It's because I've got a different brain, and I don't remember names very well. But you need to get, if you really want to know what has happened, what is happening, and what is possible, educate yourself, because what you have gotten so far has been not education but indoctrination to the myth of a superior race composed of white people, and what white people are, quite frankly, is faded black folks.
Okay, I was just trying to get a scientific definition, because I know, like, when you're dealing with different race classes, as the same, like, in an animal phylum, like, say you take a lion and a tiger and you breed them together, you get a liger. But male ligers are sterile; they can't reproduce. But we see if you get a black person, a white person, you can get a males and females both can reproduce. But I know that scientifically that when you're dealing with people that would be classified as white, you're dealing with a person that has lost their melanin, has lost their hue, have kind of devolved into something different than what most scientists would describe a human to be. You know what I'm saying? That's why I was asking you, just from a scientific perspective, where you
they
classify
aren't
that
less
as something
human.
Different.
They aren't less human. They aren't less human. They are less colorful. But they aren't less human.
And the reason I ask you this is because, scientifically speaking, it seems that they have genetically been classified close to, like, the rhesus monkey, meaning they have the same RH factors, same bile blood type, that kind of thing. That's why I was asking from a scientific perspective. I'm not saying from, like, are they intelligent or non-intelligent. I'm saying just scientifically speaking.
I don't have time to give you this, but to give you a long story about this, but get the
That's
National
fine.
Geographic magazine for April, and it will answer your questions for sure.
Okay.
If you want those questions answered, get that magazine. And get the book Sapiens. The man's name who wrote it is Yuval, Yuval, Noah, Noah, Harari, Harari. Get the book Sapiens and read it. If you really want the answers to these questions, then you're going to have to self-educate yourself, because the schools haven't done it for you.
I agree. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Carla. We appreciate the call. And looks like we're winding down the last 24 minutes here to show this Collective Minds Radio. And we have the pleasure of speaking with educator Dr. Jane Elliott. Did you guys have any questions? I want to, concede to my co-host. Do you guys have any questions for Dr. Elliott?
No, I don't have any right now. I think we have another caller.
What does that mean?
Okay. If you want to take that caller, let's see if we have another caller.
Okay. Area code 315-767 caller. You know, with Collective Minds, did you have a question or a comment?
Yes. I have a question for Dr. Jane Elliott there. Well, it's more along the lines of a comment before a question. So my comment is, I am the product of an interracial relationship between a black and a white and a little bit of Native American cultural background.
Wait, I have to stop you right there. There's no such thing as an interracial relationship, because there's only one race.
That's your opinion.
No,
and you cannot
no,
force
no,
your opinion
that's
upon
the truth.
Me.
There's only one race. So you can't have an interracial relationship unless one of the people involved in that relationship is from another planet, and I don't think they are. One of the ways we solve the problem of racism in this country is changing our language. We've got to stop talking as though there are a number of different races. You're in a mosaic relationship. A mosaic is something that is made of many different elements. It's new and it's lovely. But it's not interracial. We will not do away with racism as long as we continue to honor it by using racist racial words.
Oh. All right. So if you're done so rudely cutting off my comment, let me continue. And I'll go ahead with an analogy before I continue on down my line of reasoning. So if you have a horse and you have a donkey, they're different species, but they create a mule, but they're very similar. All right?
And that's what I
feel like, because I don't fit. I was raised as a black man, but nobody sees me as black because I am so bright. I'm perceived as a white man, but I don't feel white. I feel black, and it causes problems with my own personal identity. And that's what mixing the races causes. And it causes consternation. So my thing is, what I'm talking about, or what I was going to say is, I understand where you're coming from, and you are valid in having your opinion. My opinion is that there are races, and we're meant to be separate so that we don't have confused creatures running around the planet.
We don't have to have confusion if we tell the truth.
With the black people. The truth is that black people should be with black people. White people should be with white people. Chinese people should be with Chinese people. Birds should be with birds. Dogs should be with dogs. And that's the natural order of things.
You've gone way out in left field now. You need to educate yourself. You need to stop this nonsense.
I am quite educated.
White people
I am quite educated.
Black people. Black people shouldn't be with white people. There's no way that white people can get away from black people because we are part black. It's not possible for us to be totally
it
white.
It is possible.
It's not possible. No, it isn't. There's no such thing as a white person.
It is.
Get over it. It is a name that has been given to people.
It's not about... It's not about what your opinion is. There are cultures. And when your cultures are different and you mix them, you make mixed up people don't fit in either different culture.
If you want to talk about culture, that's a whole different thing. Then you aren't talking about race anymore.
Mm, yeah.
But there is a such thing as race.
You're not talking about race. No, there's only one race.
We may all be
a
human race, but the human race is broke down into subspecies.
It's broken down into
just like dogs.
No, I'm sorry.
A collie is not the same as a chihuahua.
We're like dogs. In fact, no, you're wrong. You're flat out wrong. And I'm sorry, but I hate to say that, but you're flat out wrong. And I refuse,
right, now,
I
Colin,
refuse to even think about that. I refuse to even.
Yeah, did you have a
that
question?
That is not a logical analogy.
Yeah, did
no,
you
she pretty much answered my question. She is not. She does not have the capability to improve her thought patterns. So there, I have no questions for her.
Okay, indeed. We appreciate your call and your comment. We appreciate your call and your comment. Did you want to respond, Dr. Jane Elliott?
Well, as long as we have people who espouse those views, we can plan on continuing to perpetuate racism. As long as we have people who are so ignorant as to think human beings can't combine them with other human beings and still be human beings, as long as we have that kind of attitude, we'll never get over racism. As long as when people say to me, I'm from an interracial family, I say, oh, which of your parents came from outer space? Because if your parents came from planet Earth, you are a member of the human race. And you can argue with that as long as you want to, but as long as you argue with that fact, that's how long you will perpetuate the mistaken belief that there's more than one race on the face of the earth.
Right.
If that gets you through the night, then go ahead and believe that. But you're going to have to come around. White people are going to have to come around to the idea that it's all right not to be white and it's all right to have people of other colors running this country because that's what will be available in the future. We've got to get this for no other reason. For self-preservation, for this country to continue to be a country of individuals and who are citizens of this same country, we've got to get over the myth of race. We've got to be willing to accept the intelligence and the ability and the humanness of every person on the face of the earth, regardless of their color. Now, I think color is important. I think it's important for what it does, but it does not define you as a human being, and it does not define your culture.
Hey, I got a question. Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead. No, I would just go.
You want me to go?
I'll go real quick. Just a real quick statement. Just in the caller's defense, I think what he was saying was because he looks and is accepted white, but he feels black, there's a conflict from society that he feels. Not that, you know, he doesn't feel like he's human or, you know, but he feels like he's being pulled in both directions because he's not quite accepted over here and he's not quite accepted over there.
So due to society saying that there are races, he feels and there's an internal conflict there.
Conflict as long as he continues to believe that there is that we've got all these different races. And as long as the people around him are ignorant enough to believe that, he can expect to have that conflict. But the conflict is not caused by skin color. It's caused by the ignorance of the way we have been miseducated for 400 years.
Indeed, indeed. Go ahead, Brother Mufasa, what's your question?
Well, all right, Ms. Elliott, this has been a heated discussion, and I'm glad you was able to stay in there and, you know, bob and weave on them ropes. I give you credit.
Did I make any sense?
I think so, to me, but go ahead. I'll let me
ask you this. Now, I had this theory. I brought up this theory a long time ago, something I would like to see. Let's talk about the United States government. Tell me how you think the country would be if just the powers that be would say, you know what? We're going to take all of the races, like the, you know, whether you black, white, this, we're going to take this stuff off of application, and we're going to do away with all these boxes. Do you think that starting there would be a way for us to break down that type of barrier? Maybe we need to take all that type of stuff off of applications and stuff like that. Just put on there male, female.
If we did that, we would have a whole lot of problems with people of color getting jobs in this country and keeping them. Because we only if jobs of women and people of color, because only when big pink men were forced to employ those who are different from themselves, only with affirmative action did people of color and women start to get good jobs in this country. Now, whether or not you liked affirmative action, one of the results of affirmative action in the 60s and 70s is the makeup of the Democratic House of Representatives, which is now mainly in the power structure is with the Democrats. That could not have happened without affirmative action. And the reason you had to have gender and race, and they use the word race. When I have to fill in an application for something, where it says race, I put human, and where it says sex, I put yeah, with a big old exclamation mark. I think that we need to know, because we have been a racially motivated country for about 400 years, you have to, in order to make it, if we're ever going to have any kind of justice in this country or any kind of equity, we've got to start making it fair for everybody. So the government has to do that, and they ought to do that, but that doesn't mean that when you put black or when you put brown or whatever color you choose, when you put that on there, that doesn't mean that you automatically have that application put on the bottom of the pile. Nor does it mean that it should automatically go into the upright container beside the desk and never be seen again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
No matter how well-meaning the government is, if the people who are out here ignore what the government was trying to do, which was make it right, that it's still not going to be right until the situation is run by people who believe, who absolutely believe in the rightness of whiteness.
Mm-hmm. Right, indeed, indeed. And now that is one, because out of all the work that you do, Dr. Jane Elliott, that is one part of contention with me when you say that white people are ignorant. I don't think they're ignorant of racism. I just think it's a power dynamic. And it's a deliberate act to maintain that power to practice racism. So they do it deliberately, and then they may play dumb like they're not aware. But I think a lot of white people are aware that they're mistreating people because they're not white. What would your response to that be?
They're mistreating people because they're not white, because they have been conditioned to the belief in the myth of white superiority. Only when we get an education system that says these children are all members of the human race, we are not going to treat them differently on the basis of the color of their skin. We are not going to teach a social studies that is, in fact, anti-social studies, because all the heroes in United States of American social studies are white males. We are not going to do that anymore. We're going to change the situation so that children are educated instead of indoctrinated.
Indeed,
we can do this, but it takes education. Education means lead people out of ignorance. Otherwise, we wouldn't need schools. If we were raised by people who believe that we are all members of the same race and have the same rights to privileges in this country, we could do away with a whole lot of problems in education. But you can't put a whole bunch of black kids in a school because you are going to integrate the school and have nothing but white teachers.
That's right. That's right. And there is a saying that goes, ignorance is the only evil. Ignorance is the only evil. So we are in agreements on that part. We are down to the last 10 minutes. So just real quick, prediction 2020, with everything that's going on anti-Trump, will Donald J. Trump be the president reelected in 2020, if you had to take a guess? Ms. Jane, Dr.
Well, I call him Dinosaurus T. Rump because he acts like a dinosaur, like the dinosaurs,
right.
Tyrannosaurus Rex. If people get off their fannies and go to the polls, and if you have the kind of leadership, state leadership, that allows everybody who is eligible to vote and count those votes, we will, if that had happened in the last election, we wouldn't have this man where he is. I'm not sure what we would have would be better, but it couldn't be worse. But if people go to the polls, we can change this situation. We have to change this situation, because if we don't change this situation, this country is in danger of losing its democracy.
Right, indeed.
And it's going to be worse for people of color than it is now.
Right, okay. Indeed. Well, with that being said, I want to, again, humbly thank you for joining us for this conversation. This has been a pleasure. You have came in the kitchen, and you were able to, you know, hold it down and have a conversation with some young black people who are trying to do the right thing for black people, for humanity, and move forward with this conversation about race. So I want to once again thank you. It has been a pleasure, and I'll let my co-hosts, you know, say anything they want to say. But, again, from Collective Minds, we thank you so much for what you've done, and we thank you for spending time with us and having this conversation. Thank you so much.
You're most welcome.
Thanks.
Mufasa, you want to go ahead and go?
Go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Okay. I just want to thank you for joining us again. And also, what would be, like, if you just had one message to give, what would be that one message that you would like to leave us with, one message of what you're trying to educate people with?
Stop believing in the myth of race and start educating yourself. The schools won't do it. So start, go to my website, get that bibliography, read everything that's on it. And after you've read every one of those, give me a call. But get those printed learning materials and get that set of commitments to combat racism. We can change this thing if we decide to. One person can make a difference. Jesus was only one person. And I'm not comparing anybody in this situation to Jesus, but you need to know that Putin is only one person. And Trump is only one person, and they have made a tremendous difference to the world,
I
particularly
say that all the
in
time.
This country.
It is
so
what it
is. Make a difference.
Yes, indeed. I say that all the time. Trump and Putin, whoever they try to make out to be the bad guy, is only one person. So that is a great point. Mufasa, did you get a chance to go?
Yeah, I was just going to thank Ms. Elliott again as well for coming on. Like I said, I know you've been a pioneer in your studies and in your field and your craft for some time. So thank you for your hard work. Continue to try to reach and teach Caucasian people to try to change their hearts and minds and how they deal with people of color.
Well, we've got to find another word for white people other than Caucasian, because we didn't all come from there.
All right.
Do you have a suggestion of
maybe we should just call white people colorless? If we call other people colored, let's play white people colorless. How will that go over?
Oh,
I like that. I like it.
I like it.
I like it.
I like it.
And if
yeah,
and Ms. Ellie, if you talk to Killer Mike, tell him we'd like to have him back on. He was our guest once before, so
I
appreciate
Mike,
what you guys do.
I'll show him that. And you go to his barbershop to get your hair cut.
Oh yeah, when we're in Atlanta, we will stop by. Yes, indeed. So, thank you, Jane Elliott, once again, Collected Minds Radio. This has been a dynamic conversation. We had Dr. Jane Elliott. We talked about race. Her comments that was on the Red Table Talk went viral this week, and she's still doing the work. She's been doing this work for a long time, as far as trying to wake up people to this race dynamic and how we need to get rid of race and so on and so forth. So. Thank you again for joining us.
Thanks.
This is Collected Minds Radio, y'all. See us back here. We will be back here next week, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time to 7:30 p.m. And, of course, we're going to be Collected Minds. We don't all have to think alike, but we all got to think. Let's get it.
That's right. And don't forget, if you got any show topics for us, send us a link. Send us a shout-out, collectiveminds@yahoo.com. You can reach us there, email us, or you can hit us up via Instagram, instant messages. You can catch us on YouTube and on Facebook. So reach out to us. We want to build with people. So hook up with us. Link up with us.
That's right.
Let's build.
That's right. That's right.
Tune
indeed.
In next Sunday.
So.
We're going to have another great show for you guys on Sunday. So thanks to all our listeners, our supporters, our guests, everybody that's been hanging in there with us all this time. And we're coming up on our three-year anniversary.
Or two-year.
Two-year anniversary.
Two-year
anniversary.
Closing out on our second
year.
Shout
out to
us.
Okay.
We're trying to, bring y'all some good content. We're trying to bring solutions. We're trying to bring people who are professional, who are in their craft, who offer solutions to the problems of the world, of the community, just so we can move forward and improve the quality of our lives as a whole. So stay tuned, and like a brother say, check us out on all social media platforms. Send us links. Send us suggestions for topics of shows, and we're going to move forward like that and, try to do what we can do to improve the quality of life. And this is Collected Minds Radio, y'all. You dig. Time for the music, Collected Minds. So.
3, 2, 1. Collected Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the curve, we about to earn. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about. Whether it's owning or a new point, calling with your new point. Prepared to our collective, a colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things here. We been going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who we been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking
like Collective Minds.
Collective Minds.
What they thought.